Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Tim Walz is a coward and Scott Jensen is a loon. Welcome to the performance of my Twitter replies over the last 24 hours. Nice to be with you on Drive Time. It's Jason DeRusha. And we're talking about the debate that is not happening. The debate at the State Fair, which, depending on who you listen to, Governor Tim Walz said he would do. Or Governor Tim Walz didn't say he would do. Who knows? Every time you have a governor's election, there is a debate over debates. Over the last several years, well, gosh, you can go back 20 years and take a look at this. And some years there are debates between the candidates for governor. Some years there are not. But in this case, Governor Tim Walz decided whether, you know, you can listen to him say, sure, we'll do debates. His campaign told me that he agreed to do more debates, not specifically. Who cares, right? Like, who cares? Oy, this is going to be a long campaign season if we're going to freak out about every little thing about this. But I will say this. Tim Walz does look weak by not agreeing to do a debate at the state fair. Now, will the governor do a number of debates with Scott Jensen? We don't know. When I talked to his staff yesterday, they said there would be debates. They would not commit to a number. And this is a game we see every time, right? The challenger wants to debate every other day. Why wouldn't you? You're trying to take down the incumbent. Let's debate. Let's go. The incumbent doesn't want to screw up, so the fewer debates, the better. It's in the interest of Minnesota to have as many debates as possible. I'd like to see six. I think six debates lets you go deep into some of the important issues. You know, it helps if we can focus in a bit. Let's talk about inflation. Let's talk about jobs. Let's talk about health care. Let's talk about climate change. Let's talk about COVID restrictions. Let's do focused, deeper debates. I'm all for it. A debate at the state fair, if I were running the governor's campaign, I would have said, yeah, let's do it. I agree that by not doing it, it makes you look like you're afraid. Now, do you really want deep political discussions as part of your visit to the state fair? I do. I love it. I love that you can go to the state fair and you might see your senator, you might see your governor, and anyone in our state can walk right up to them at the state fair and share what they think. 651-461-9226. Do you want a dose of politics alongside your pronto pup? Would you rather see Princess K of the Milky Way or a debate between Governor Tim Walz and Dr. Scott Jensen? 651-461-9226. Or do you think that all this posturing about debates is simply people who already have made up their mind trying to make the other person look stupid? The answer can be both, right? There's no doubt that people freaking out about this in my Twitter replies. And if you want to really go into some of the most ridiculous people in our state, I invite you to visit at Darusha J on Twitter. Because good heavens, some of you people need to get a life. But debates are important. And Scott, Paul Gazelka, who obviously we know Paul Gazelka, the state senator, is in the Jensen camp. But he tweeted to me just about 20 minutes ago, a live debate at the fair is really important. Head-to-head debates show the true person and their record a lot better. And then, so why is Tim Walz afraid to debate Scott Jensen? I mean, obviously Tim Walz and Scott Jensen just had a forum at FarmFest where they shared a stage. Our Blois Olson moderated. We aired the whole thing here on the radio. So I don't know that Tim Walz is afraid to debate, but it does make him look weak. Tim is in Nisswa. He is on the line at 651-461-9226. Tim, do you like to mix the fair and politics?
Well, in the way you mentioned in the latter sense, but not in the way of a debate in this instance. Certainly I like seeing politicians and talking to them at their booths or wandering around the grounds, but I think we're at such a precipice with this new COVID issue, the new wave of COVID, that to give Jensen any kind of a platform, which will then be, you know, broadcast and so on and so forth, and allow more people to hear misinformation about COVID, that really scares me. So I applaud the governor for not falling into that trap, because the man talks about things he obviously doesn't fully understand and speaks as if he's an epidemiologist or a pathologist, and he's not.
Right.
And
right.
People believe him.
I understand where you're coming from there, but I don't agree with this idea that, like, you know, Scott Jensen shouldn't be given a platform to say what he thinks about this. He is the Republican candidate for governor. And there, you know, I think it's incumbent on the governor to refute it. Right. I mean, they're going to debate. We're going to hear them talk about this stuff.
Well, the problem is, though, so often at those things, people really don't go and listen with an open mind to the debate. They go to listen to each their own,
the
way they were feeling walking in the door.
Yeah, that's a great point. Tim, I totally agree with that. Thanks for the call. John is in Brooklyn Park. John, thanks for calling. Drive Time, 651-461-9226. Do you like to see the fair and politics mix?
You know, I agree with your last caller that I'm fine going to someone's booth when they're at the fair, but, you know, having an actual debate there is just not something I'd be interested in. But on the question of whether Walz looks weak, something I would like to know, and I just haven't read enough to be able to know myself, but has the governor traditionally had a debate at the fair in the past? I think about debates.
Right.
And, you know, normally I think about, you know, controlled environment, moderator,
right.
The crowd is quiet. That doesn't feel like it can happen at the fair.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, that's a great question. And I did look back. There was a debate at the fair in 2018. There was no debate in 2014. There was a debate in 2010. And I think there was not a debate in 2006. So that was kind of when I look back. So it's been up and down. Sometimes you have it, sometimes you don't. The year that Tom Horner ran and there were three candidates, there were a lot of debates that cycle. So it kind of I think the Jensen camp is making it sound like the governor has upset some sort of, you know, sacrosanct tradition. But the truth is there have in the last 25 years or so, a slight advantage to the yes, but it's been up and down. Yeah,
fair enough. I mean, like I said,
why not do it? Have the debate, right? You know, I don't know.
But it's hard for me to call someone a coward when it's a 50-50 shot, too.
Fair. That's fair. Thanks, John. I appreciate that. Room for you to join us at 651-461-9226. You can text as well. We've got Pat in Carver on the line. Pat, do you wish that the governor had debated?
Jason, I think the gloves should come off. I think they should have a knowledgeable moderator, somebody like you, that could even fact check or challenge those guys. You know, we have enough fluff in our life. I think that's a great opportunity. If someone's undecided about how they feel, boy, there's their chance to convince people firsthand or bring some questions up and some points, and let's see what kind of substance they have. And Jason, by the way,
yes,
I'm your friend. I'm the gentleman that introduced you at the Builders Association Award.
Oh my goodness!
Come back this year. You're our favorite host ever.
Pat, I'm back. It's on my calendar. I'm there for sure.
Oh, sweet. It's I think it's October 28th, so we look forward to it.
This is Pat, who introduced me with a series of insults, which is how contractually I always insist on that. I want to be fully roasted before I come out.
No, you did say you're the best. You're the best ever, so thank you.
Very good. Pat, thank you.
I mean, cage match at the state fair with balls.
Do we want to debate, or do we want to put them both in a dunk tank and line people up on, you can pay $5 and have the money go to Second Harvest, and you can throw and try and dunk one of these guys. Now we're having fun. Now we're having fun for sure. Thanks, Pat. Couple lines open if you want to give a call or you want to give a text as well. 651-461-9226. Does Tim Walz look weak by not agreeing to debate Scott Jensen in this circumstance? He's not saying he's not going to debate. He's saying he's not going to debate at the state fair. More of your texts and calls as we continue on Drive Time with DeRussia. The debate over debates at the state fair. I said that the governor looks weak by not agreeing to debate Scott Jensen. You are lighting up our phone lines and our texts at 651-461-9226. Let's go to Mike in a car. Mike, thanks for calling CCO. Do you think the governor should have debated?
I do. I think it shows that he's very weak. I think it goes back to the point where he was weak when he didn't call out the National Guard during the riots.
Do you think that there is a legitimate concern about the fact that, you know, crowds at the fair are large. Civility is not exactly the order of the day when it comes to politics. Do you think there could be a legitimate concern about things sort of getting a little out of control?
Well, I think at times, no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I could see strategically you might not want to debate because of that at the fair anyway. But if you're the governor, shouldn't you have said, like, all right, I'm not going to do the fair, but let's do this debate on, you know, right after the fair on September 6th or something.
Yeah, no doubt. If people want to hear what he's got to say.
And what
Jensen, I believe his name is, what he's got to say.
Yeah. Yeah,
the debate should be in the future. You can't keep ducking it. I mean, people got questions, and he's got to answer them.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike, thank you. I appreciate it. Let's go to Adam in Robbinsdale at 651-461-9226. Hi, Adam.
How's it going?
State fair and politics. Do you like it? Do you like them mixed or not?
Well, I'm a political junkie, so yes.
Yeah. Me too. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think they should, and here's why. Because FarmFest, depending on, you know, which side, you know, but that's rural, and they are way more right, generally. They tend to be more conservative, especially now. But at the fair, you get a much more organic mix of people, because you have a ton of people from outstate,
sure, yeah,
a ton of people from metro, and then you get a little more idea of what the crowd, how the crowd is, you know, reacting to their things. And I honestly, they should almost take questions, too. Because, you know, when they have them in, well, you've been to many of them.
Yeah.
Is that they stuff it with their supporters. They try to get 50-50, you know, so there's not a lot of, you know, they claim they're undecided, but generally, you know, they know what is going to be asked.
Do you believe that when the candidates kind of make an issue out of this, is this a genuine issue, or do you think it's just, all right, we got a chance to kind of roast our competition, and so we're gonna roll on it? I mean, reasonably, you can't expect the governor to do Farm Fest and the Game Fair and the State Fair. And I mean, you'd be doing a debate every week, you know.
Right. Now, I think three debates is fair in different formats. Very similar to the presidential. Usually there's a town hall. Usually there's, you know, different types. So that way, you know, the town hall is nice because then you get, instead of, you have a moderator, but the questions generally come from the,
A lot of times people's questions are, you know, the political reporters have things they're interested in, but regular people are interested in, you know, stuff like the cost of college and other things that, that, you know, healthcare, the real issues that regular people are dealing with every day, you know?
Correct.
Yeah. Cool. All right, Tim, I appreciate it. Thanks for the call. Or Adam, I'm sorry. That was Adam, right? Let's go. Should we go to Tim? How about Tim in Woodbury? Tim, I was getting ahead of myself. So excited to call it, to talk to you, and thanks for calling the show.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I go to the State Fair every year, and I think a lot of people do for the food, the activities, the people watching, and to take an hour out of your day to sit and listen to, you know, a debate and get all fired up. I mean, you know, politics are dominating the headlines anyway today, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I want to take a day, and you're likely to get, you know, a group of far right and a group of far left people at the debate, right?
Sure, for sure, yeah.
And I'm not sure that's what you want. I think controlled debates, you know, where you have moderators and you have, you know, a crowd and the crowd's not, even at Farm Fest, I mean, you know, you listen to that and every question those guys answered, what was a cheer from one
Yes, you hear the cheer, right, exactly. It's true.
I don't think you want to ruin your state fair with getting all fired up about, you know, guys that don't answer questions correctly. They lie, they fabricate. Right. I mean, you know, Farm Fest, you listen to it, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, half their answers didn't have anything to do with the questions that were asked.
I know. It's the hard thing about doing a debate where you get people to agree to certain rules and then they basically have the opportunity to say whatever they want. It's very annoying as a listener. You just want, as a voter, right? Like, I'm trying to make up my mind which way I want to go. I want you to answer the question and prove that, like, all right, you're going to listen and you're going to answer and let's have an honest conversation, you know?
Yeah, and they just don't do that. No, I mean, almost every politician is trained not to do that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Tim, I appreciate it. Thanks for calling in. The one text I wanted to highlight, and this is where I come down on this, the fair does give the average person a chance to see the debate, whereas any of these other debates, it's exactly as Tim just said. The room is stuffed with political elites, people on one side or the other. The fair does give the average person, and I wish the governor had said, yes, let's do it. There's still time. He could change his mind and do it at the fair. I think it'd be good for Minnesota. It's 3:31. We'll take a break and do the traffic and weather together on News Talk 830 WCCO. 3:39 on Drive Time with DeRusha. I'm in a different place when it comes to COVID right now than I was 3 months ago, 6 months ago, a year ago for sure. Frankly, I'm not all that concerned if I'm hanging out with someone right now that is not vaccinated. Now, I wish you would get vaccinated for your own good, but I'm not worried about it for my purposes, for the community's purposes. And I want to know if I'm crazy to think that way or not. So we're bringing in Dr. David Hilden to kind of give us some guidance on this because, you know, we've seen some changes from the CDC just on Friday on their advice. And Dr. David Hilden is with Hennepin Healthcare, Internal Medicine Board certified. Dr. Hilden, thanks for being with us.
Happy to be with you, Jason.
All right. Well, let me know if I'm wrong or right or somewhere in between on this. But I feel that the guidance makes it less important to me, other than obviously wanting people not to get the worst case of COVID possible. You know, I want people to get vaccinated. But 6 months ago, I would have hesitated to hang out with someone who is unvaccinated. And right now, I feel unconcerned about that. Am I wrong?
And I don't think you're wrong. I think it's sort of natural that, and I'm beyond it too. I'm not giving everybody the side eye anymore. You know, right. When you go out, it's like, Jesus, that guy vaccinated there. You know, it's not that bad. But I still wish people would get vaccinated, only because that's how this thing, we would have controlled this a lot earlier if people had done that 2 years ago. And so there is a altruistic,
yes,
community public health reason to get vaccinated. But for your personal life, I know, I agree with you that we're to the point now when we just have to weigh our individual risk, and we can maybe get beyond having to wonder what our neighbor is doing. So I think I probably agree with you.
Dr. David Hilton is with Hennepin Healthcare. We are trying to digest the new guidance, and I guess I wish people, Dr. Hilton, I wish people weren't so stupid, right? So now, you know, you can look at it now and people say, oh, well, look, like everyone who said vaccines are unnecessary or don't work, they were right. That's not, no, like we're just at a different point. The CDC said something like 95% of America has some amount of immunity, whether it's, you know, because they had COVID or because they've been vaccinated. But and I think that, you know, obviously we wish all of it came from vaccine. But the reality is we've learned as this has gone along, and it's OK to be in a different place today. Well, you tell me, is it OK to be in a different place today than I was 6 months ago or a year ago?
I think it is okay. Here's the deal on vaccinations. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. Now, it is not the case that they prevent you from getting an infection, but they did what they're supposed to do. They are exceptionally effective at reducing your chances of getting really ill.
Yeah.
Where we are now represents exactly what we thought would happen. COVID is now an endemic, it's not quite an endemic thing. It's still a pandemic, but endemic means it's something that's in our community that's just always there, and we have learned to live with it. I think we're in that year, this year of 2022, is the year that we learn to live with it. And we start to make individual decisions based on our own personal risk tolerance. So for instance, I do think it's reasonable to go about most of your business knowing that the vast majority of people are either vaccinated or they had COVID or both, recognizing that you still might get it, but you're not likely to get particularly ill from it, and that you should, and that the perhaps your risk tolerance goes up a little bit more now. I think that's entirely reasonable. I'm back in restaurants now, and I'm going to Twins games. I go to a lot of those, and I sit outside in the crowds, but it's outside. I'm hoping to go to a Wild game, but I'm not quite unsure if I want to go to an inside play. So everybody has to take their own personal risk tolerance into account now. That's what's different now.
Yeah.
A year or two ago, we all had to be on the same page. We all had to wear our masks. We all had to get vaccinated. And the more of us that did those things, the better we all were. The guidelines now are much more, well, we're at a new place now. Use your individual risk tolerance. Wear a mask if you're in crowded places and you're worried. And if you're not so much, maybe you don't have to. I think that's probably a good place for us to be now.
And this is this different from sort of the way we approach any sort of communicable disease, whether it's, I mean, I hate to use the flu comparison because at the beginning of COVID, people made that comparison to try to dismiss it. We know that millions of people died earlier than they would have because of COVID. So I'm not trying to minimize, but I am saying that people need to and should give themselves permission to reevaluate the situation based on where we are today.
Yep, I totally agree. It's still worse than the flu and still 400 people a day die from COVID. I think it's like the third leading cause of death in the United States. Flu, this is not the flu, but we're trying to get to a place when maybe it will be. We're not quite there yet, but I would love to have it be like the flu, knowing that the flu still does kill
people
every day.
Yes,
flu
is bad.
Yep.
Yes, and especially if you're immune compromised or older or whatever the case may be, similar situation. Yeah, we need to take the flu seriously, too. We're talking with Dr. David Hilden from Hennepin Healthcare. As the CDC did revise COVID guidelines, what do you think is the other... Well, let me ask you this, because this sounds like a stupid question, but I see this often where people say, well, you know, CDC finally admitting social distancing doesn't work. The vaccine, the difference between vaccinated and unvaccinated, there's no real difference. What do you say to that?
Yeah, the CDC is in a tough bind. This thing has evolved so rapidly that they make decisions based on the best available data. It is not true that social distancing does not work. It is not true that masks don't work. Those are simply myths. They very much work.
Are we sure that masks work? That's the one thing that I've been curious about during all of this.
Yep, they do. They really do. Now, do they work perfectly? No. No, nothing works perfectly. But all those things do work like we thought they would.
Together.
Social distancing works. Yes, yeah. The masks work. Gathering outside is better than inside. Mask is better than unmasked. Vaccinated better than unvaccinated. All those things add up to your level of protection. What has changed is that the virus has evolved into a highly transmissible but less deadly virus. We have got better treatments. Our hospitals are better equipped, and we have better immunity through prior infection and vaccine. So the pandemic realities have changed.
Yes.
Those interventions still are just as sound as they were at the beginning. It's just that the reality of the pandemic has changed.
They definitely do. If you look back on the beginning of this, is there one thing that you would have changed, whether it's the messaging or the interventions? Is there something that you think, with the benefit of hindsight, we've learned that, well, maybe we could have done that better, or maybe we didn't need to do that?
Yeah, I think we should have promoted things like ventilation better instead of just don't ever go inside with another person. You know, ventilation was proven to be helpful. And I think way at the beginning, I'm talking March, April, May of 2020, we needed to take it more seriously. We didn't. Our government didn't take it seriously. And we could have nipped this in the bud earlier than we did, but we simply didn't take it seriously at the beginning. That's what I wish we had done.
At the very beginning. Yeah, the first month.
At the very, very beginning, we needed to take it more seriously. And then there's some other things that we shouldn't have poo-pooed people that wore masks. We should have aggressively pursued vaccination earlier, and we should have done testing. All those things in 2020 we didn't do quite so well, we paid the price for it, that we didn't have to. But we're much better at it now, and so I think that now, it's water under the bridge now. Now
right,
we do
right.
what we know. Well, you hope
we learn for next time. And I guess I would add to that list that we needed to take the nursing home situation and the assisted living situation. That needed to be treated like a red alert emergency. And I don't know if it was.
I agree with that, Jason. The other thing is probably schools. The effect on children is complex. And I think that maybe we could have done some things differently with the schools. Now, I'm not an expert on child development, but there have been a load of effects on children missing school. It is a lesser illness in children. Maybe we should have thrown open all the windows in every elementary school and just sent them all back. Maybe that was maybe what we should have done. So I think schools were one thing that we maybe could have done things a little bit differently.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, like, taking a look at the things we've learned and could do differently doesn't mean that the decisions in the moment were wrong. This was an unprecedented scenario, you know?
I agree with that completely. I think the state of Minnesota handled this marvelously well. Not perfectly, but I think we did the best we could, and I applaud our public health leaders and our leaders in Minnesota. I think we did things pretty well. But we have a lot we could learn to do it better next time.
Dr. David Hilden with Hennepin Healthcare, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Jason.
All right. It is 3:50. We take a quick break and be right back on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.